All right, so Albie's first comment was that it was a long Ramban. That's the last thing I'm going to do tonight. What we're doing is, in fact, in preparation to hopefully understand this Ramban. This Ramban is a very important Ramban on the Shusha Rabim in general, in the Dinim of Erevin. All right, so last week, in addition to giving Hakdama on Hilchas Erevin, we also spoke about the fact that Erevin is made up of four major topics. The first one was Rishuyos, the different domains, and that's what we started to deal with, Rishus HaRabim. Then we said the second major topic is Mechitzos. Obviously, Mirt Hashem, we will get to that as well, but that's a whole separate topic. Then we had Suras HaPesach, the famous Kana Mikan, Vekana Mikan, Vekana Al Gabehen. Okay, that's Suras HaPesach. And it's a unique formula, very simple formula, but it's common not only to Erevin, but also to Mezuzah. A lot of similarities there. And finally, the fourth subtopic within Erevin is Eruvei Chatzeros. So we're focused on Rishuyos, and the first of the Rishuyos is Rishus HaRabim. So 2 weeks ago when we learned last, so we saw that we extracted one primary definition of Rishus HaRabim, and that definition was the width of the Rishus HaRabim, Tez Zayin Amo. The way we got to it was from the Agolos and the Midbar that used to carry the Krushim from the Mishkan. And, you know, if I told you, if you want to, there's two full blot there to get into all the details. That's not for us, really. But we did see, basically, the calculation is assuming two agolos side by side. We learned according to Rashi. And it was a half an amma and a half an amma from each agola, so to speak, for a total of one amma, to allow that poor Levi, who's shown in the schematic drawing there, that he has to run underneath every so often to do what? If one of the krushim is starting to fall off, he pushes it back into place. So we saw a width of Tez Zayin Amah for the Agalos, and we know we learn out from the Mishkan, all the various Malachim and Tes Malachos. So this is the Yesod where the Gemara says explicitly, Rishus HaRabim is Tez Zayin Amah. A minimum of Tez Zayin Amah. It came up in the discussions, so the millions of Am Yisrael that also went in the Midbar, they went in Tez Zayin Amah, Lav Dafka. But this was the minimum. Okay, the minimum was, you know, the two Agalos carrying the heaviest parts of the Mishkan. So it's a minimum of Tez Zayin Amah, and that's where we got to that first and most important definition of Rishus HaRabim. Again, just as an aside, we talked a little bit about the fact that Hotzah, which is the Isur that Erev deals with, that tries to alleviate or eliminate, it's referred to by Tosfos at the beginning of Masechet Shabbos as a Malacha Geruah. So we discussed the fact that in general, the Lamites Malachas are creative in nature. Again, learned out from the creative activities in the Mishkan. So somebody had asked, you know, what's the real makor for that idea of creativity? So at the time, I didn't really give the exact answer, but it's pretty, if you think about it, throughout Shabbos, we always learn that kol ha-mekalkalin peturin, that it's only misakein. When you do a malacha in terms of a tikkun, okay, a positive, a creative nature to it, that's when it's considered a malacha on Shabbos, and that's when it's also midaraisa. But if you're mekalkel, if you're destroying something, so peturin means patur midaraisa, also midrabanan. But again, here is where you see that idea of creativity reflected explicitly, you know, in the halachas. So therefore, if I come in here with a sledgehammer on Shabbos and I start knocking down bookcases and walls, and all I'm doing is random destruction, there's l'chorin no avmalacha being done. That's soser. That's a mekalkel. However, if you remember in the Mishnah Klal Gadol, there is a malacha that is asamida raisa. Soser al menas livnos. What's the point? If I come in here, I'm doing renovations, and the beginning of the renovations requires me to break down a lot of the walls. So that's soser. Why al menas livnos? In order to build, that becomes an avmalacha. Why? What changed? One is destructive, is a mekalkel. The other is a mesakin. It's a soser al menas lesakin, livnos. So that's really, if you want to go delve further into it, but that's where the address is, that the idea behind the malachas and Shabbos are creative malachas.
Question about the Rishuyah. Just a clarification. We said that it's a minimum of 17 amos to be considered.
16 amos to be considered.
So just theoretically, if they're walking down with the Sagala, and we have the 16 amos, and then suddenly the road narrows down to 15. So at that point it becomes...
Okay, excellent question. Tosus itself has that suffix. That's a good question. Tosus itself has that suffix. And there are... Look, we're going to see there's many, many shitos. One approach is that if the row of the area of the street or the highway is tezein amo, and it narrows for a portion, then rubo kukulo, the majority is tezein amo, then the whole area is a shusarabim, even the narrow part. There are other shitos that say no, that none of it is a shusarabim then. But it's a good question. We're going to have to deal with that at length. It ties in with another din of mefulash. You know, you may remember many times when they say tez zayin ama, they always say tez zayin ama umefulash. Again, we're not up to that. But what does mefulash mean? Mefulash means that it goes straight from one part of the Rishus HaRabim through the other. A through street, what we call a through street, is what mefulash is. So what the definition of mefulash is, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the whole thing, Broadway, that goes from the top to the tip, is that mefulash? Or the fact that it curves, you know, it's not straight, it's be'ikum, does that qualify as a foolish? So all of those issues are addressed together with the issue that you brought up. Okay? All right, let's start. You have two sides. It's not the side where the Ramban is, the other side. So there's a very famous Bryson Shabbos and Dav Vav, and we're just going to look, again, we're focused on Rishus HaRabim, so let's just see what it says. Tana Rabbanan. Arba Rishuyos L'Shabbos. So we mentioned this in passing last week. Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim. Okay, those are obviously the most well-known. Both are Doraisa. And then Carmelis. In Carmelis, for all we have to know right now, it has characteristics of Rishus HaRabim and characteristics of Rishus HaYachid. And so therefore, it's Asumid Rabbanon, and it's called Carmelis. And then finally, Makom Petur, which is also sort of a hybrid. Okay, if you go down to the bracket, this is what interests us, because this Brisa now gives us a definition of Rishus HaRabim and examples. Ve'ezu hi Rishus HaRabim Sratya ve'platya gedola Umavos hamufulashim Zohi Rishus HaRabim Gemura. So how many examples did the Braisa give of Rishus HaRabim? Three. Let's look in Rashi, the next Mara Markom there. Okay, Abba Rishuyas Kula Mefarishlei. You know, the Gemara Viter goes into detail on all of them. We'll skip to Sratya. Sratya, again, is the first of the Rishus HaRabim examples. So Rashi says, these are L'chora Latin words. Mesila Shaholchim Bameir Le'ir. What would you say that means?
Something like a highway.
Like a highway. Intercity highway.
Intercity highway.
So, you know, when the trains first came out in the 19th century, so in halachic literature it was called the Mesilas HaBarzel. You know, they didn't, Rakevet, all of that, those are modern words. So it was called in halakhic literature, you know, they called it Mesilas HaBarzel. What pshat Mesilas HaBarzel? The iron steel? The rails, but Mesila, it's this word. It's a straight, not road, but a straight connection. What?
Path.
All right, great. Right, in modern Mesila is a path. Shvil.
Has to be straight?
No. So again, that's, you know, how straight it is deals more with the Tezayin Amah. But here, you seem to have a definition, Platya, an intercity highway. That's a Platya. A Sratya. The next one is what? Platya. Rechava, I always remember this because of the word plaza. Because what's the definition Rashi gives us? Rechava shel ir. Say no chinami. We know that Natanis Sibur, they used to take the small Aron Kodesh, right? That used to be in front of the Amud. You know, we have an Amud today. As Rav Moshe writes, there's no, what is this? What's the point of the Amud? Because they used to have an Amud where they kept a small Aron Kodesh that would be used on Taniyas Tzibur. Where were they misfollowed on Taniyas Tzibur? Berachava Shel Ir. They went out into the plaza. Okay? Shesham Miskaptim Lischora. Okay, it was a perfect place for the market area, the marketplace as well. So what's the difference between Sratya and Platya conceptually? What would you say?
Platya is like a plaza.
The other one is open.
Enclosed. What do you mean by enclosed? Not necessarily any mechitzas around there.
Limited.
It's limited. Okay, so yeah. So Platya is limited. What'd you say? Albie, I thought you were going to say something. Platya is limited. But what about Sratya? What would you say is Sratya? So conceptually, there's two ideas here. The intercity highway indicates clear access from one point to another, unimpeded access from one point to another. That's going to become a very important principle.
The difference is between between two cities is no population, and the Rehov is there is a population. So we have two streets, two different
when you say
areas.
Right, the intercity highway could be going through forests, through the Midbar, okay? But why should that be an issue? Have we seen anything about population?
Not yet.
So we haven't seen anything about population. In fact, what's very interesting here, what does this Brisa, what's glaring by its omission? It doesn't mention anything about population. But anyway, so you know, Sratya, unimpeded access. Okay? That's also the idea of a highway.
What about Derech HaMelech?
So Derech HaMelech is a similar concept.
What category would it be?
Sratya.
Yeah.
Derech HaMelech is like Sratya, exactly.
You could say it's visually, you're restricted by distance. You can't see one end to the other. Whereas by a Platya, you can usually see the one end.
So why should that make a difference for Rishus HaRabim?
It's one enclosed area.
Limited area.
Okay,
but so you're coming back. Okay, so what do you see? But you can see that a limited area can also be a Rishus HaRabim. So there, it has nothing to do with movement. Again,
right.
Sratya is movement, unimpeded movement. Platya does not refer to movement, and despite that, it's a Rishus HaRabim. So you do see that conceptually, it's a different concept. So what is it? It's miskaptim, shesham miskaptim. It's the gathering of people. But it's not the people necessarily as much as the area. This is a limited area, which is, even though it's limited, it's large enough for people to gather. All right, so let's hold this in abeyance. We're going to see that the Rishonim are going to, you know, expand on this and work with this. So that's what we see from this Brisa. The third and the last example of Rishus HaRabim is the Mavaos. So here Rashi says, Mavaos shel ir, rechavim sheshesrei amah. So these are the main thoroughfares, not intercity highways, but within the city you have thoroughfares. So I would think, conceptually, is there a difference between Mavos and Sratya? I don't think so. Not conceptually, right? They both, again, are unimpeded movements.
Yeah, but Mavos is like within the city, and Sratya is, you know...
I hear you. But conceptually, can you give me a difference between the two? Yeah, one is in the city, one is outside the city. But does that make a difference conceptually? Because how does the Brisa go on to explain the Mavos? They are Mufulashim, right? So what does Mufulashim mean? So I'm glad I did mention it. Excuse me. So I'll just give you an example as a map maker. So even on Google Maps, okay, one thing they still copy from the traditional maps, through streets, okay, like on a map, what's a good example? Newbridge Road. Kinderkamak Road will be shown in yellow. Okay? West Englewood Avenue will not be shown in yellow. Okay? Berwick Avenue, where I live, will not be shown in yellow. What's the difference between Berwick Avenue and Kinderkamak Road? Kinderkamak Road is a mavui hamafulash. It's a through street. And that's the idea in cartography. Why are you using yellow? You're trying to show the through streets. In other words, the person is traveling. He's not interested in stopping along the way. He's looking to get from point A to point B. So he wants to see where the through street is. That's what Rashi is defining here. Mavos shel ir, rechavim sheish esrei amo. Rashi throws in the sheish esrei amo. Okay? All right. Let's go to the next Gemara.
The Gemara says, Pate Gedola.
Okay. Right. Because you right, a plaza is a plaza. You could have a small plaza, right? You have a small plaza.
Not necessarily. It doesn't have to be Gedola.
No, it does have to be Gedola, right? No, that's a good point. Again, the idea is that it's not just a courtyard where people gather. This is a large area where there's public. That's exactly what we're going to see the next. Public? Did we say anything about public?
Didn't say anything about people yet?
Didn't say anything about people. We say anything about ownership yet? But what we did say, what we do have to say is your point is well taken. It's Platya Gedola, and Rashi addresses that when he says, Shishom Miskapsim Lischora. They get together there for marketing, for selling and buying. So obviously, it's a large, even though it's limited, it's a large area. All right, next Marim Makom. Let's just read the first line of that Marim Makom. Toshma. So Gemara in Erevin says, Shevile base Gilgul, v'chayotze bohem, reshus hayochid l'shabos. So the Gemara tells us there that the Shevile is a path, base Gilgul is an area that, well, I don't know if it was called base Gilgul because of that, but maybe it was. It's winding. And it's winding and coming down a hill, coming down a mountain. That's considered a Rishus HaYachid. All right?
So if you walk up that mountain to go up to the old city, you know, from the Yimbal, you go down and then you go up.
Oh, the Hatzion.
Yeah, and that's
right,
that's
right. Right.
Going up into the...
Right, so what's the point here? The Gemara wants to say, because it's a winding path, it's Rishus HaYachid. Okay, look, the context of the Gemara here is not what we're going to deal with right now, but the fact is it's a Shusa Yachid. So the Gemara, in fact, wants to prove from here that because it's winding and it's not easily traversed, that makes it a Shusa Yachid.
Has nothing to do with the width.
Nothing to do with the width, Lachora. Could even be Tezayin Amma. The point that it's winding and it's, you know, it's going up and down, all right, makes it Shusa Yachid. So Gemara wants to bring a riot because the Machlokas of Yehuda and the Rabbanon there. So we see here that something like this is considered a Rishus HaYachid. Okay? Because it's not easily traversed. That's the point of the Gemara. It's not what concerns us right now.
Does it matter on the distance, either?
What do you mean by distance? How far?
Yeah, Rishus HaYachid. Can it be winding 5 miles?
I mentioned last week, we're going to see the Rishonim discuss it. If the continental shelf, right, it drops, I don't know, miles or hundreds of thousands of feet, right? That could be a good mechitza, because we'll see that water doesn't interfere with the mechitza most of the time. That could be a mechitza for North America. So what's the maximum area of Rishus HaYachid? Again, there's going to be a major discussion. It can be quite large, so that's not the issue. All right, the reason that we bring it up, and again, we're going according to Rav Shechter's Maor Mekomos, you're going to see why Rav Shechter had this Maor Mekomos, puts him here. All of a sudden, this Maor Mekomos is here. It's here for a reason. So look where the arrow is. So the Gemara basically shrugs up, don't, in this discussion we have here for a blot, a full blot, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban and some machlokas about whether an area is easily traversed or not, don't bring me any raya from Shvilei Beis Gilgal. That's not relevant to the machlokas here. Why? What is unique about Shvilei Beis Gilgal? So look where the arrow is. So Shvilei Beis Gilgal Kamris. What, you're introducing the Shvilei Beis Gilgal? That's a different story. You know why it's a Shus HaYachid? Because Yehoshua, Yehoshua ben Nun, Ohev Yisrael Haya, Hamad V'Sikin Lehem Drachim V'Sratya. So he, you know, he had to take care of the infrastructure. Okay, he set up a whole infrastructure in Eretz Yisrael, and among the things that he did is he created roads and streets. Those areas that were easily traversed, Mesorah L'Rabim. What does that mean, Mesorah L'Rabim? He gave it over. Who owned it? It was public ownership. Anything that was not easily traversed was given to whom? Was given over as private property. So Shvilei Beis Gilgal, you know why Shvilei Beis Gilgal is a Shus HaYachid? Because it was given over, Yeshua gave it over. It's a Shus HaYachid, meaning it was owned by a Yachid.
It was nothing to do
with easily traversed. In other words, it had private ownership. So here we see a concept for the first time that private ownership, even though it may meet other qualifications of Rishus HaRabim, it's a Rishus HaYachid.
Yeah, but Yahushua's reasoning was the same reason.
Because it says, Kolhechid de lo nicha tashmishta. It's true. It's a good point. But it's interesting that Lemaisa, we do paskin that if an area is not owned by the public, even though it meets all the other qualifications, it's not a Rishus HaRabim midoraisa. Can you think of such an example?
Farm.
No, a farm is... Yeah, but that's a farm. Is not a plaza, and it's not a road, a highway. It has to be a carmelis. That's a good example of what a carmelis is. Okay, it doesn't have mechitzas around it, so it's not like Rishus HaYachid, but it doesn't have, you know, people moving through it or even living there. So it's not Rishus HaRabim. It's neither. That's why it's a carmelis. You can think of an area in the middle of Manhattan. Mamish in the heart of Manhattan.
Gotta be Central Park.
So Central Park is not privately owned, but you're getting warmer.
Times Square.
Is Times Square privately owned? Okay. You know, as you just said something interesting, you know, I mentioned that Shuva Rav Moshe with Broadway. You know, now the last few years, you see what's below, even beginning around 45th Street, down to about 38th Street, they literally have closed off two-thirds of Broadway. You know, it's not even Tezai and Amma wide anymore. Just thought of it now as we're talking about it. So that's exactly your case. Broadway's Tezai, you know, nobody would have ever said there's an area with Broadway's not Tezai Nama, but all of a sudden we do have an area now where Broadway's not Tezai Nama. So where? No, you're getting warm. Rockefeller Plaza. I don't know. It's owned by the Japanese now. I remember about 15 years ago they bought it, but I think they wasn't sold back or something. So Rockefeller Plaza. Okay. Rav Shechter mentions this in his Chaburos, because again, 30, 40 years ago, of course, it's owned by the Rockefeller Foundation, whoever it is, right? It's not publicly owned. And in fact, what they used to do many, many years ago, for legal reasons, once a year, might have been like New Year's Eve at night or Christmas night, whenever, you know, at midnight, when nobody's around really, they would literally close it off. Because otherwise...
Sure,
They still do it because, you know, according to civil law, if an area is constantly open, you lose ownership on it. So they would close it off. So Rockefeller Plaza, even though it's Tezayin Amma, it's a platya, and even though we haven't learned the din of 600,000 yet, the 600,000 people in, out, it not would not be a Rishus Rabin Doraisa. So here you see another requirement for something to be a Rishus Rabin Doraisa. And what is that? Public ownership.
So yesterday they closed down the streets around Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Because they have the annual lighting of the
tree. Right, the tree. Oh, okay.
You can't, cars can go through. It's just about impossible to walk through as well.
So halakhically, look, we're gonna. This is way down the road, no pun intended. But you know, we're gonna see that you could have Rishus Rabin Doraisa, and there are ways of making it into Rishus Yachid. And one of the ways is by closing it off for one period during the year.
Maybe that's the reason they put the tree up. You know, we think it's.
Pay for this to close it off. But you know, we've learned enough even tonight. Can you give me conceptually what the Sfara is? In fact, you should know, we're far away from understanding it. The Manhattan Eruv today is a good Eruv. It's significantly different than the Eruv 100 years ago. Again, it's something way down the road. Right. We're going to see the evolution of the Manhattan Eruv. They on Central Park West, one night a year, like at midnight, they actually pull some kind of a gate across Central Park West to close it off. And that helps in making a Rishus HaYachid. Give me the Svara, based on what we learned tonight. How would that possibly remove it from Rishus HaRabim, based on what we learned tonight? What did we say the definition of Sratya was? No, what words I repeated a few times. What were the words I used again? I didn't say fully accessible movement. What did I say? Unobstructed. I didn't say unobstructed either. I used another word, but all these words are good too. Okay? Unimpeded, unobstructed movement is Rishus HaRabim. Hiluch HaRabim. So what do you accomplish by closing off an area? It's no longer unimpeded the entire year. Okay?
The area of Manhattan isn't the from
where to where? We're far. You're spending Shabbos in Manhattan. So we can... Before you spend Shabbos in Manhattan, we'll have to address
so
that.
What?
Oh, should is the name of that. What?
It goes back to what Yahushua
was. Oh, with the Rockefeller Plaza. Yeah, that's why I mention it now. Okay, all this is a very important introduction for the next Mishnah. And here we will introduce a new concept, which is very, very key to Erevin. Okay, so here's the Mishnah in Erevin Daf Nun Test. Ir shel yachid v'na'aseis shel rabim. So, strange, what does it mean? An ir shel yachid? An ir, we don't know what that means. But at one point it's considered an ir yachid, and now it becomes, at a later time, shel rabim.
Rishus yachid, rishus rabim?
It says Ir Shel Yachid. So look in, it's really all that we need from the Mishnah. Look at Rashi right below that. Ir Shel Yachid. So how does Rashi define that? Shelo hayu nechnasim ba'tamid shishim ribo shel b'nei Adam. In other words, why is it called Ir Shel Yachid? Not that it was owned by a Yachid. It's a public city. But what happens, there's less than 600,000 people there, tamid, constantly. There are not always 600,000 people there. Velo chashiva rishus harabim. And therefore, it's not considered rishus harabim. Why? Delo damya ledigle midbar. Because it's not similar to the digle. What's the digle midbar? The gali, meaning all the machanos of the shvatim, it's not similar to how they moved in the midbar. But in the Midbar, they had obviously more than 600,000 people. So here Rashi all of a sudden comes up with a bombshell. Something is not a Rishus HaRabim if what? If it doesn't have 600,000 people, and according to Rashi, he says, Nichnasim. So like, you know, Manhattan, what is it, 3 million people a day come into Manhattan, something like that, right? So he says, because, you know, this in itself is a long discussion, also a number of shitas, even within the sheet of 600,000 requirement for Rishus HaRabim, what does that mean? 600,000 coming in there, which L'chor is what Rashi says, Nechnasim, makes Rishus HaRabim. What? And Tommy, they have to be there every day, 600,000 people have to at least be there. Or does it mean, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a big chumrah, he says 600,000 people, it's not enough that they just come in, have to live there. Okay? 600,000 people have to live there, which is, does not seem to be...
I think Rashi was meant to say, was it a specific number, or just does it mean the large number of people?
Well, so what would you say? The lo damya le digle midbar. When Rashi says the lo damya...
If, yeah, but that's based on the midbar.
Right. If it was just an example of a large number, would Rashi say the lo damya le digle midbar? The fact that Rashi says lo damya le digle midbar is telling you Rashi's picking up, obviously, like everything else that we're learning. We're learning out all the malachos, including Hotzah. We learn out from the midbar, from digle midbar. So where does 600,000 come from in the midbar? How many people were in the midbar?
2 to 3 million.
So we'll see. The Rishonim are going to ask this question. 600,000 people between 20 and 60.
Yeah.
Males, right? Okay, the Rishonim are going to deal with that. Okay, but anyway, this is the marker we all know about 600,000. So Rashi, all of a sudden, in addition to what we've learned about Tezayin Amma, right? Which was the main other shita. I told you it's Tezayin Amma, I'm a foolish. And Rashi all of a sudden throws in 600,000.
For Doraisa.
We're talking about Doraisa in order for it to be 10,000. Rosh Hashanah Rabin Doraisa.
If you don't like this, most of the cities would be.
Okay, so at least prior to modern times, by modern times, I mean the 19th century and later. Right, and in fact, we'll see again, one of the things we'll see, you go back to before the 18th century, even before the 19th century, there were very few cities that had more than 600,000 people. In fact, there was an interesting question they asked. The original Eruv in Warsaw was put up in the early 1800s, in the time of the Chiddushei HaRim, the first Gera Rebbe. And there weren't 600,000 people there. But then, I forget, was it prior to World War One or right after World War One, it was clear there were already more than 600,000. I think at the beginning of the 20th century, Warsaw had a lot more than 600,000 people. I mean, Rahman Litzan, how many there were? I think over 1 million Jews in Warsaw, am I right? At World War Two. Okay, so... I think in all of Poland there were 3 million Jews, right? The Nebuchadnezzar were killed. Not killed, there were 3 million Jews in Poland. So they asked, so wait a second, the whole quote hat there of making an Eruv in Warsaw, like almost all the cities, and again, you see, if I get into this, maybe, let me talk to say this, and Yitzhak Hashem, next week we'll start the Ramban. This is very important. The whole hat there, because all the cities in Europe, throughout medieval times, had a Reuven, okay?
You said wolves.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
No, not true at all.
Hitler had walls. It's not true. So, what's the key thing that has to be resolved before you can make an Eruv around a city? You have to remove it from the status of a Rishus HaRabim. Because there is a principle, and again, as we learn more and understand more, we will better understand this principle. But the principle is Eima Arvin Rishus HaRabim. You can't make an Eruv around the Rishus HaRabim. So if something is a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa, you can't make an Eruv around it. So the first step is bring it down to a Drabanan. So the way they brought it down to the Drabanan is if you paskin that you need 600,000 people for it to be Rishus HaRabim Doraisa, okay, so then based on that Shita, which not everybody agrees with Rashi, okay, but based on Rashi and many, many others who say that, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. The minute it's not a Rishus HaRabim, now I can get to work, I can put up an Eruv. And that's why this becomes very, very important.
So you said that the Central Park West was impeded one night a year.
Right.
So was it originally a Rishus HaRabim?
So I just finished saying you can't make an Eruv around Rishus HaRabim. So Manhattan has Tezayin Amim Mefulash. It has 600,000. So the truth of the matter is, it's Margale Befume de Inche. Margale means it's something ragil, common, befume, in the mouths of people. In other words, it's a common saying or understanding. It's assumed. It's a common assumption that what I said is true. Ein ma'arvin b'shus harabim means you can't make an eruv around b'shus harabim. What that really means is you can't use a tzuras ha-pesach, okay? That's why we know that there weren't walls, because most of the eruvim were primarily, like today, dependent on tzuras ha-pesach, okay? Even though you could have other situations, we'll see when we're going to learn the din of mechitzos in The Hague, in Amsterdam, it's surrounded by a dike, you know? Because, you know, what is it, all of Holland is below sea level, right? So anyway, it's surrounded by a dike. But the dike is much more than Yud-Tfachim, meaning you literally, you have to do nothing. You have a mechitza all around it, okay? So that was an exception. There, you didn't have to use a Tzuras HaPesach. Despite that, there's a whole big thing with the Chacham Tzvi, you know, whether you could consider the dike to be used to make the Hague into a Rishus HaYachid. So Ein Ma'arvin B'Shus HaRabim means you can't use a Tzuras HaPesach. So what's different about a Tzuras HaPesach as compared to other mechitzos? Because the question is, Tzuras HaPesach, and again, we're going to learn it, but when at first glance, so to speak, is this a mechitza midoraisa? Does Tzuras HaPesach work on a doraisa level? Or no, maybe Tzuras HaPesach only works on a drabbanon level. The truth of the matter is that most achronim hold that it only works on a drabbanon level. So if I have a reshus harabim d'oraisa, I cannot use a tzuras ha-pesach. Oh, if I have a karmelis, meaning it's not a reshus harabim d'oraisa, meaning I have a city of less than 600,000 people, and I utilize the sheet of Rashi and many, many other rishonim, that in order for it to be a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, it has to have 600,000, I'm dealing now not with a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, I'm dealing with a Karmelis. Okay, it's only Durabbanon, it needs a Durabbanon. So now I can use a Tzuras HaPesach, because Tzuras HaPesach works on a Durabbanon level. So that's really what Ein Ma'arvin Rishus HaRabim means, that you can't use a Tzuras HaPesach. And since Tzuras HaPesach is what had to be used most of the time, again, remember, this was in Gullus. The Jews didn't control the cities. They couldn't just put up gates and walls and do everything else that they wanted. Tzuras HaPesach was another story. So therefore, it was very important for them to be able to reduce this to an Issur D'Rabbanan based on the sheet of 600,000. But again, so we will sort of end with this. So what happened in Warsaw? So they taka asked in Warsaw, okay, the original Eruv was based on a city of less than 600,000, so at least he had one Shita to be Somech on. By the way, the other Shita, which also many Rishonim hold, Tez Zayin Amim Mefulash, according to that, you'd be hard-pressed to justify the Eruv in most of the cities in Europe. So there we'll see the Achronim come up with many other ways that even with assuming the Shita of Tez Zayin Amim Mefulash, nevertheless, they show that big cities and modern, meaning even medieval cities, were different than Talmudic cities and were really not Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So that's what they said in Warsaw. The answer was, the bigger a city gets, the less of a chance there is to have a through street. You follow? Everything, and again, am I right? Yeah, most cities, yeah, before automobiles and so on. You know, if you ever go, I remember we were in Florence. So there's motorcycles and scooters, unbelievable. Like 80% of the traffic is not cars, it's motor scooters. Why? Because it's a medieval city, Florence, at least the old part of Florence, right? Everything is very, very narrow. So I remember, this is for, you know, when I was there, that's what got to me. You understood Erevin there. There was no main street through the old city of Florence. So that's the point. As cities become very big, the urban areas themselves are built up more and more, and that was the heter that was used in Warsaw, that there's no tezainama umefulash. There was no through street in Warsaw. Look, ain't achinami. You can't even use motor scooters there. That's even less. You're lucky if you get the donkeys through. Right. Okay, so anyway, so what we saw tonight, we introduced, in addition to Tezayin, you're going to make Marev, in addition to Tezayin, Amma of last week, we saw very important the Shishim Ribu, that you need 600,000, and we did introduce the idea, we haven't related it to Erev yet, that there might be an also requirement of public ownership. All right? Okay, so Emir Hashem, we'll continue next week. Have a nice break. Take care.
Very good.
All right.
Have a good night.
Take care. Hey, we scared everybody away.
Wow.
Listen, I'm not here Shabbos. We made such a big push for starting the new Mishnah. But going to Passaic, you know, it's, I have a grandchild on this side of the ocean. It's something new for me. So, you know, I don't make all of these decisions.
Good job.